Hey folks, thanks for being here. Please like and subscribe our videos and our content. Leave a good review if you like what you're seeing. As we grow, we're looking to be more interactive with our fans, so feel free to leave a comment letting us know your thoughts, your predictions. Tell us we're dumb for our predictions, whatever. Also follow us on our Twitter account at the Catechin Pod for any updates.
Speaking of updates, Saturday night, big game.
Oh yeah.
But also, here, the Catechin is going to have a featured guest, the biggest guest we could possibly get. Biggest Kentucky fan, people are saying.
Guys. Come on.
The
I'm part of the show.
handsomest man in the world, according to his mom.
Not a guest, I'm a host. I appreciate it, but we can't plug me. I'm on every episode. Did you
I
guys do
hear
this
he's
whole
got
thing
the
for
best
me?
takes. He's got the best takes.
That's what they say.
Not
The
Jared.
takes I'm most interested in hearing, at least.
Thanks, guys. We re-recorded this whole thing just for me.
Just for Jared.
I appreciate
No,
it.
Jared. We'll be on the Twitter page. If you follow us over the next few days, there's going to be directions on how to become a participant in the show. Or I'm not exactly sure what we're planning on doing to have call in or text machine or whatever, but get some real time audience feedback
So they can
integrated into
call
the
in
show.
and they can talk to me.
The real person they want to talk to is Braden, and he ain't even here. He's too busy being on the West Coast.
So you're telling me that if they follow us on Twitter at the Catechin Pod, they could be part of the show and they get to talk to me and the other three on the show?
That's what
That's
I'm
what
hearing.
I'm telling you.
That's what they're saying.
Per source.
That sounds unbelievable.
I heard
So
about it
I
on the
guess.
burner.
Just follow us on Twitter at the Catechin Pod, and you can be on the next episode of the Catechin.
I like to get a bunch of men together.
Okay.
Men that are the hardest of the hard. And I want to be with these men.
It's the Catechin, and well, it had to happen eventually. Kentucky loses 70-66 to the Clemson Tigers. It's overreaction season. Fellas, how are we feeling?
Not overreacting. I mean, I said that this is the one of the two I was most worried about, and for good reason. I mean, it's a 4-point loss. It's not the end of the world. It might seem like it, but there's so much you can improve on, and to only lose by a couple buckets in a quad one road game. Yeah, okay. I mean, not the end of the world, but it seems like it to some people.
Yeah, without our seemingly most important player as well from too long, I rewatched it without being, in the emotional state of watching a UK basketball game, and I came away from that rewatch like a lot more optimistic. We kept a pretty decent pace. We definitely were slower than usual, but that was, Clemson playing hard hitting, friendly whistle defense, and we it was abysmal. The shooting percentages were abysmal. I think that really the only thing was like, why don't you put somebody else out there to shoot some shots? If
Who would you have put out back out there? You talking about
yeah, specifically.
He couldn't get his shot off, and when he gave up on a couple of shots that he could have had, I think that's why he didn't play later on. He had a couple looks where he tried to get it, like he tried to do a little step back sidestep. I just don't think he could get a shot off last night. I don't think Pope forgot about him, like it seems to be insinuated in a lot of places. But I don't know that it would have made that big of a difference, honestly. It's a 4-point loss. Like again, I'm
Yeah,
just not
I
that
mean
down on it.
we even hit our mean, what were we?
Hit your foul shots and you win the game. There you go.
Yeah, hit your foul shots, you win the game, hit two threes.
Anywhere near your normal 3-point percentage.
I'm saying with that aside, hit your foul shots, you win the game going. Yeah. How many did they miss? Seven? Yeah. I'm not saying hit all of them. Just hit the ones you do get. You know, they only shot one more foul shot than us for the foul discrepancy. It wasn't all that crazy different in foul shots.
Ben, how you feeling? How you feeling about the game, Ben?
Sort of like Caleb. I'm optimistic. I mean, obviously not fun to watch a loss, but as you were watching people react to the game in real time, people were saying, you know, we can't buy a shot. Oh my God, the offense, what's happening? Why are we missing our free throws? But I kept just saying, yeah, we're down a possession, and you know, we're playing awfully. And they're like, I haven't rewatched yet. I felt in the moment like they were getting a friendly whistle. I'll on rewatch, see if I still feel that way when I'm less emotionally involved. But if everything is going wrong and you're still within a possession, again, obviously the L sucks, but that's encouraging. It's not like you were out of it. It's not like you were down 20. It's not like you were giving up huge runs. We, the whole game long, we were right there in it.
You know, there was a big part at the near the end of the game where there were two different shots that were wide open for Otega Owe. They just happened to not go down. And if he makes one or both of those shots, I think we see a different outcome to the game. Now, does that make us a better or a worse team that Otega misses those specific ones? Probably not in the grand scheme of things. That I don't think Otega Owe making or missing a single shot in that game says anything about how good of a team we are right now or how good of a team that we're going to be. It's just basketball is a game of runs, and we just didn't hit our shots in order to go on our run there. Good for Clemson. I don't think this is a bad loss, and I don't think that this holds any real weight or shows any sort of concerns that we'll have going forward. On to Gonzaga, you know?
Yeah. Go ahead, Ben.
One thing to note is that And people get frustrated with KenPom all the time, especially early in the season. We improved in KenPom. We started or went into that game as his number 12 team. We were number 13 after Georgia State, I guess, some other team shifted around. We moved up to 11. I think our defensive efficiency improved. I mean, it's not, like I said, it's not like there aren't good takeaways. An L always sucks, especially your first one.
Yeah.
But our defense played well, as terribly as we feel like our offense played, especially relative to what we've seen. The stats are remarkably similar for us and for them. You know, we held them, a pretty good Clemson team, to exactly what they held us to. So
we had to have
that's positive.
A almost historically bad shooting night for them to have kept us where they were. Because, yeah, defensively, I think – That was the main takeaway from the game was when I did the rewatch was, we look good on defense. People were talking about Kerr, like, being bad at defense and all this stuff. And it's like, no. I think what happened when Kerr got in the game is he tried to draw fouls. Like, a lot. Which is, you know, works sometimes. It doesn't work in that environment. But then it's like, the offense didn't get early shot clock looks. It didn't run like it was supposed to run. If we have 10 more minutes of Butler, we win this game by 10 with his plus minus.
He was cooking in the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
He was cooking. We were going to him.
I mean, we were really great for the first 15 minutes of the game. And then they got 11 rebounds in the last 5 minutes of the first half. That's insane. And it was also Butler wasn't out there. And then the second half comes up. And the first 10 minutes, we outscored them in the second half, what?
By three.
By three?
Yeah, you're down 7.5, lose by four. And really, that's his Butler shot
but
at the end.
22 points came in the first 10 minutes of those 36 points.
Yeah.
And that was with Butler. Until he fouled and had his fourth.
I will say there were times in the game where it didn't seem like we really were hustling all that much. And I mean, what is rebounding other than the biggest hustle stat there is?
Yeah.
Or just, you know, being in the right position and stuff like that. Where it just seemed like Clemson was just fighting harder than we were. There was a part where I think Kerr was driving to the basket. It looked like he got fouled. They didn't call it. You can't bank on that. But where the ball was just on the floor and you just have Kerr just sort of on the ground looking at it, and then two Kentucky players just sort of staring at the ball there. Meanwhile, Clemson's running after the ball and they get to it and then they get transition two.
Yep.
You can have a game where you don't shoot well. You can have a game where you're not rebounding or hustling all that well. You can't have them both together because that's going to be a loss.
They still, it was equal on rebounds. I get what you're saying. I think defensively, like the lack of steals was a big one. So we do typically get a bunch of steals on some bang outs, you know, like pick six type steals. They only had 8 turnovers. And I agree with what you're saying. And it felt like that too, but it is remarkable. It was exactly 44 each, 29 defensive rebounds, 15 offensive. It's just, but they definitely seem to get the hustle plays. And they're fired up. That crowd was, they were excited. That was lit. I mean, that was a real hostile environment. It was loud.
Do you think the lack of steals is due to the pace of play that they got us out of the pace that we like to go at?
How far off was the pace? I'd be curious.
We had 7 less possessions than we usually have.
That's not that
so
different.
Right at about 10 to 12%
okay.
less game.
But for them, is it similar for them, or do they kind of play
it's
the
very,
game
yeah.
play,
they,
you know?
they played the game that they usually play.
Okay, that makes sense. They didn't score a bucket for the last like 5 minutes of that game yesterday. They got some foul shots, but
also they hit some like really lucky shots.
That bank three.
that's the one that comes to mind. Yeah. But yeah. Again, you know, there's I'll be real. Kurt wasn't good last night, but it seemed like
it wasn't awful though.
I would classify it as awful. I mean, he was really bad.
So it felt like when Kerr was in and that group was in, they were anticipating foul calls. And that would either turn into a turnover that they're like the half second it takes for them to be like, what the heck? Why wasn't that a foul or whatever? The Clemson offense has already passed half court. That happened several times when Kerr was running it. And then there was the almost – it felt like aiming for foul calls. Like he was trying to draw fouls. That was like 7 or 8 of his possessions, which is a significant amount. Was him
for
trying
sure.
to draw them.
Yeah.
And it worked twice, and then it didn't work again. And it was like not consistently called. Zachary – and Kerr were getting completely different treatment on how much freedom of movement you could have, which, you know, it's a road game. It's just how it goes.
Yeah.
But
I will say they like how we like to push the ball down the court, especially with Kerr out there, that if they make a basket, we're just immediately just gunning down the court. They had a man on our guard the entire time to keep us from pushing the ball up the way that we wanted. So we're going to have to adjust. And we have the staff that will. We have a
exactly
that can make adjustments to that. I don't, like I said, I haven't seen anything in that game that it seems like a red flag for the season. In a way, I think it's good. I think it's a learning experience.
One thing I mentioned, or I think I mentioned when we did our preview, is that Clemson is pretty bad in terms of transition basket point for possession. But they are very, very good, among the best in the country, at limiting transition opportunities. So when you ask about why we didn't have steals, why we didn't have those breakaways, that's something that their system, whatever it is very good at preventing. They play like 90% of their possessions, defensive possessions, in the half court, which is crazy high. And I think to some extent the early fouls, especially on Butler, took away from our ability to get steals. He gambled less. Oue ended up with 4 fouls. I think that probably kept him from stealing in the same way he usually does. So So I think a lot of that was a big factor. I promise I'm not going to sit here and just complain about the whistle the whole time, because I think the way things were called was bad for us and made things difficult to play through. But I don't think that it was necessarily they got all the calls and we got none. I think some of it was just the times that it was less a consistency issue between the teams and more a consistency issue between phases of the game. I mean, we had them with 8 fouls super early on, first 10 minutes. So I was thinking, wow, we already had them. We're wearing the bonus and we're going to be shooting free throws. And then they just didn't call any fouls for the next 20 minutes, the second half of the first half and the first half of the second half. And so that's a period of time where we've got Butler out. They're not calling fouls on anything, but we're not playing with him anyway. So I think that really affected our game flow too.
Yeah, the win of the fouls is big for sure.
Who? Because our offensive motor is apparently the guy that people thought we only got because he was really good at defense.
Well, last night he was. I mean, he hasn't been that every game, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, it's more so recently. I think he's gotten a lot more confident. He's taken a lot more shots the last 3 games than he did in the first four.
You can
And a
drive the
lot at the
ball.
rim. I mean, his curls, he runs like a slot receiver and just makes that route to the basket just look very pretty. And it's a speed thing though, because he's not very big. He's got to get to it quickly, and or you're gonna get stuffed, which is
Right.
kind of rough to watch. But yeah, I
Would
mean,
you also say that he pumps and he shops?
he does.
I've heard
He
he does
does,
both of those things.
for sure.
I'll tell you who did come to play. Jackson Robinson, through stretches of that, looked really good. I'm happy to see.
Defensively, especially, I thought.
And he
Oh yeah.
played like the whole game almost, right? 35 minutes? Yeah.
35.
Yep.
Yeah. And he had an assist that was like, I don't even know how he like toe tapped the baseline and got it out to Otega. Actually, Otega might have missed that shot, but that was very insane athletic ability that he showcased there. And it was very, I watched that like 3 times. I wore my back 15 button out on YouTube TV. Yeah, he played a lot.
I'm having a little bit of frustration with the way that the fan base is taking it. I didn't know that people legitimately thought that we were going to go undefeated this year. And a lot of people seem to have a genuine misunderstanding or a fundamental misunderstanding of how Pope's offense works, other than just we be shooting threes. Because when people are saying, I don't know why we're running the ball through Amari so much, or why is Amari handling the ball so much,
It's
that
literally
is
the
the
system.
offense.
At the top five,
Yeah.
yeah, he literally, yes,
Well,
thank you.
so I think what they, yeah, I actually like that we took a day, because I got to listen to everybody's takes, their horrible in real time takes on all the shows, all the popular shows. We don't have a guy that can go get a bucket. We don't, Amari's whatever, whatever. Why is he running? It's like he is the distributor. What I think they saw was the 2 times that he dribbled from the top of the key without turning his back, and he got turned over. And that's just like, it's brutal to watch a very not point guard person try to dribble to the basket like that, without it being there being leverage some way. And maybe that is just like, but
They played really physical too. I mean,
yeah.
the foul calls were within five, both like it was 20-15, but they were super physical, and I felt like they missed a lot of calls. The calls aren't why you win or lose a game, honestly, ever, in my opinion at least. They had the opportunities. They I mean, turnovers. It's because every game up until here, Duke aside, but you win that game. Nobody cares how you win that game against Duke, right? But every other game has been against the Westerns and Jackson State and teams like that, where you win by 35 even on a bad night. So this looked drastically different, it feels like, than the other games. But really, this is what quad one games are going to look like. Like, this is that's college basketball, right? Like, that's
especially
across the country.
Games.
Yeah, road games, neutral game. I mean, really, yeah, exactly. Like, games against, similarly, when I say similar, 1 through 50, like top 50 teams, is going to be tough. They're a good basketball team. There's a good crowd. There's not a, not a whole lot to say other than, on to the next. I'm not glad you got the first one out of the way, but it was getting to the point. It's like, if they win these two, when's the first one going to come? And it's going to be, I knew the reaction was going to be bad, but...
I kept on hearing over and over again how it's like, oh, we were the only SEC team that lost. Fuck the SEC. Who cares? What? Like, we let the conference down. Somebody said we let the conference down. Are you kidding
me? I wish they all lost.
It's ridiculous.
I wish they all lost.
Probably a little more justified because it's a challenge. It's an SEC-ACC challenge.
I don't care.
Aside from that,
Disney Bowl.
Aside from that, they clinched. The SEC clinched day one. We won, we being the conference, won all of the games we had to make sure that, it was a front-loaded tournament. So the SEC is going to win no matter what.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Do you think any other SEC fan base was rooting for us last night?
No.
Not a one. No.
No, absolutely not.
I'm going to feel embarrassed or bad about
maybe,
it.
Maybe South Carolina.
Very true.
But that's.
But
maybe.
Even then, I don't know because
I don't know the SEC fan base is
like Louisville,
SEC
like Louisville, Tennessee, right?
My God,
I don't know. Still, fuck the SEC. I don't. Conferences are made up. It's all stupid.
So is basketball, technically, but
yeah, I know. But for 100 years, Kentucky dealt with carrying the SEC in basketball.
For that. One narrative I thought was a little overblown was with the free throw shooting. People were just dragging the guys for missing their free throws.
Yeah.
And I get 61% is ugly as a team, but if you look at it, Owe missed 2, 6 of 8.
Two.
Amari was 1 for 2. Carr was 2 for 4. Carr has been excellent from the line all season. It's not like free throw shooting is someplace where he's deficient. Butler was 2 for 3 and Creasa was 0 for 1. And I think that was the front end of a 1-on-1, so it hurts a little more. But it's not like any one guy just botched it. The only person that's done that in any game is Amari. And then Georgia State, he went 6 for 6. So I feel like actually as a team, we didn't shoot well, but it's not like one guy was just a liability there. Which is sort of the impression you would get reading comments of people doing a postmortem on this game.
So many comments. Like Carr, people were saying Jackson isn't what we thought he was going to be, whatever. He played 35 minutes. And he is the reason that they didn't have somebody go off for 35 on 8 threes by themselves. It's like and he also really helped the bigs. In the second half, when we needed to start getting rebounds, it was Jackson that was making that happen with his effort. You can tell that he is kind of the Swiss Army knife that Pope will use to create to make up for deficiencies during a game, and it doesn't seem like anybody understands that, especially right after the game is played. Because I don't want to hear in your post-game call talking about Jackson Robinson when he played 35 freaking minutes, played his butt off. Two more threes of his drop, and that's ball game. And they had good looks. It's just sometimes it doesn't fall. And then Carr, he went 1 for 7, and you can tell that people think, oh, he went 1 for 7. He did play bad tonight. He didn't play bad. Most of the, I think 3 out of those 6 misses ended up turning into assists where he got his own rebound. If you go by possession, there wasn't 6 negative possessions off 6 missed shots. They were still positive reps. So it's just, yeah, people don't watch these games. Or they don't know what they're looking at. I don't know. There's plenty to like still. And obviously, it's like we also have a coaching staff now that we can trust to make any corrections that they think are necessary. Lamont hurt himself in early in the second half.
Right. People were saying, why isn't Lamont playing more? Well, he twisted his ankle. Suck it up. What? No, like I don't. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
certainly don't do anything to injure it more. But if he's talking to the staff and says, hey, I need a minute, give him a minute. It's just an insane expectation that he would go out there or that he was just being soft, you know, let me sit on the bench for a little bit when he could be out there. Like it's especially knowing what we do about Lamont. Like that's not his personality. That's not who he is. He's not, just give me a breather, you know?
I don't want it to be like that I would be critiquing anybody from saying like, oh, I don't care that we lost. Like I'm not happy that we lost. But it's I know it's one of those things that does make it Kentucky basketball, that the fans get worked up over a December loss. But
we're everybody else's Super Bowl, but we're also our own Super Bowl every single game.
Yeah, let's relax, you know. Mm-hmm. We got a coach. Like we know we got a good team. They can still grow. I don't want to be playing my best basketball in December. So
right.
they'll figure some stuff out.
Until we play
one thing I wish we had the same access to this game that we had for the Duke game. I'd love to see how the halftime chat went. I'd love to see how the post game chat went. I'd love to know about practice this week. I mean, I know that we can trust the staff to respond, and remotivate or, you know, get some problem areas worked out. But I'd love to see it. I want to know.
Yeah. You think they did?
I want to see Mark Pope telling these guys. I don't know. I assume they did. I mean, I it's probably not going to be a 15-minute mini movie.
Yeah. I
hope they did. I'd like to be along for the journey, win or lose. That's great content.
I like that this game felt like you're going to run into one of these games in the tournament where you can't buy a basket. You might have a guy in foul trouble. You might not think that you're having a friendly whistle. And it's how do you bounce back from it? This time we didn't, but it's a learning experience because, you know, we're probably going to have another game just like this season, and they will have been there before together.
And this could easily be, I mean, what Clemson went to the Elite Eight last year,
mm-hmm.
and it could be a Sweet 16 team this year. I mean, this could be a Sweet 16 game on a neutral site. I like our chances on any other night, you know. We hit like we usually do. We win. What do you guys think about plus minus? Because,
like in general, or
it's like people use that as I noticed in the instant takes cycle after this game, most people were talking about plus minus.
It's the quickest way for the average fan to look and see who. But they use it way it's interpreted incorrectly all the time. I don't care for it all that much. It's an easy way to look and see like generally how people played, but
my initial comment as it relates to this game is I hope it wasn't the same people saying Amari sucked, we need more Brea, saying plus minus, because Amari was plus 16, second only to Lamont, plus 17, and
exactly.
Brea was minus 15.
Yep. Yeah. And then Garrison was minus 20 in 12 minutes. But that doesn't show that Garrison just sucked, because he didn't look bad in his minutes. But he just happened to be on the floor during a run.
Well, I mean, that's exactly how plus minus works. Yeah, I mean,
But
yeah, I thought he looked pretty bad.
Yeah.
Well, one of the big deficiencies of plus minus is it doesn't inherently account for who's on the floor with you. I mean, if you could be the best player in the world and you could lose your other four to injury and you're going to get scored on and your plus minus is going to be terrible, and that says nothing about your own performance, or at least nothing that you can extrapolate from about your own performance. So I mean, not a terrible tool, but also really, really easy to look at it and read into it quite a lot of things. I mean, Oway was great. He was our leading scorer, and he was minus three. And if you look at that and say, oh man, Oway, negative plus minus, terrible, then I don't think you're getting the full picture.
Yeah, he played for 31 minutes. Yeah,
Right.
people
Essentially the scoring.
I just go off vibes. So if you could just give me a name, I'll let you know if they had a good game or bad game. That's just
Gerson, when he was on the floor very much. But
He had a
well,
so-so
not
game.
yeah,
he, I
I
thought
thought
he
he
was
was fine.
terrible.
He
All up
wasn't
here.
like a liability or whatever. I don't think that he
I disagree, but I thought he got,
I don't
but he didn't get rebounds. He got worked a few times on those rebounds.
know. Well,
I mean,
yeah, but he also got screwed with the lack of the, because that was during the last 5 minutes of the first half, and then right after that first 10 minutes of the second half, where they had their runs, where we didn't have Butler on the court, and they were. You get 11 rebounds in 5 minutes and no fouls. I just don't think that he knew what to do to counteract that situation that he found himself in. But as far as like playing defense, guarding the rim, he did well.
All right,
Still
so
a little
big
bit
picture
wonky.
takeaway from the game. Do we want to go around and give the, what is it, the 30,000-foot view? Is that what people say? I'm not super good with phrases. Do we want to go around and give that one? I'll say mine is a year ago we lost to UNC Wilmington at this time. About 2 years ago, might have been three, we were in a barn burner against Yale. And this year we lost a quad one road game. I'll take that. Let's bring on Gonzaga. Who wants next?
I'll go.
Right
Sure.
there. Okay.
Nobody gives a crap about this game if we win on Saturday. It's like
That's
the end of the
fair.
world for literally hours. And then the only thing that matters is Gonzaga. I think that there's a lot to be learned from this game. I don't ever want to lose. I want to go 1,000,000-0, but I mean, it's not going to happen. And this is a team that got put together in 2 weeks and looks pretty incredible for that. And I trust the coaching staff to make whatever adjustments, learnings, whatever they need to bounce back from this one. I don't think anybody got out coached. So that's a good feeling because that's not usually how I felt.
That's a good point.
I think perspective is important. I mean, I know everyone felt great about how the season started, and this felt like a little bit of a gut punch. But if you look at some of the teams last year, Purdue, December 1, 4-point overtime loss to Northwestern, who was KenPom top 50. But it happens. Teams lose at this point, and it's the season isn't over. There's no need to overreact. December 20, Connecticut lost to Seton Hall, KenPom number 50 by 15 on the road. And
Must have
obviously we know how
sucked.
that went. Scrubs. First round loss, and I think obviously comparing this for us to previous years, we probably lose this game worse. We may have even dropped some of the previous games, the Western game. But I also think that, I mean, losses are going to come. I'd rather lose this one than to a team that we have no business losing to. I saw someone say maybe this will be our 2012 Indiana game, and that'd be great. I'll take that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I would take that. Just the natty. Pope's first year.
And I also
a
don't
humble
think
natty.
That yeah. I also don't think Clemson will be talking about this, you know, 12 years later in the way Indiana fans talk about the watch shot.
Yeah.
Bray Dog.
Oh.
I think honestly sometimes you just lose a game. I don't think there's anything really to be pulled, like, you know, a lot of trying to take this game and extrapolate, like, oh, we don't have this. It's a game. You lost the basketball game. It happens. You missed some free throws. I mean, there's a million different ways you could have won the game. You didn't. You know, the top 30 team in the net, really top 15 team in the net. You lose by four. You go on to Gonzaga. I mean, and that's – I mean, I know you say this one only matters until you beat Gonzaga, but, I mean, that's a tall order as well. But I feel
yeah,
fine. I mean, it was bound
to
happen.
Until the Gonzaga game starts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then that's reflective of the entirety of the season that game is, as far as fan base and media personalities go. Could never be me. I'm a Glazer.
It's December 4th. If you're undefeated at this point in the season, you got to be pretty elite, right, Braden?
Yeah.
Oh, we'd like to think so. Sure.
Do we want to debut Braden's Aggie Corner? He gets the sound off on Utah State real quick.
No, you know why? No, because I'll do that, and then we'll lose to Wyoming tonight or something. I have the kiss of death or stuff like that.
Surely I'm not trying to jinx them because I'm player-hating that Kentucky lost.
Yeah, I mean, it's like,
certainly,
you know,
not.
Only a handful of teams can stay unbeaten. You know, it was bound to happen. I get it. No, it'll be cool. Our time's coming. We're not going undefeated either, bro. We got a three-game stretch here in about 2 weeks. It's going to be brutal.
God, what a healthy approach as a fan. We'll lose one. It'll be okay. If only every fan could feel that way.
Well, I mean, you know, even on we go 27-8 last year. Like 8 nights of the season, I was kind of bummed. But 27, I got to have a good time. Like, it'll be all right. Like, there's far fewer losses on the docket than there are wins. It'll be a good time.
Well, fellas, do we have any closing thoughts on Clemson before we move on to our Gonzaga preview?
I think they're a good ball team. I think they're better than anybody thought.
Yeah, their only loss is to a Mountain West team, so, you know, it's elite. I get
it. Yeah, but, it's, you know, the nerds like them, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, they're a good team. I'm just kidding around, but mm-hmm. Clemson's a good squad.
Shout out to Clemson fans for a great-looking environment. That was loud on TV, for sure.
Let me tell you something. That, I have a slight role in, because their admin contacted Utah State's student, like the herd, basically the student athletic leadership, and what was asking for insight and
so
tips on
your
how
fault?
To improve.
Yeah,
hey,
right.
My fault that y'all can't make free throws.
that's what I hear from this.
I knew it. I wasn't even gonna say that. I told Jared that offline. I wasn't gonna say that, and then I, you know, immediately perfect.
So we now we all know who changes
to
A to an E.
You know, don't send the Wildcats to the Spectrum is all I'm saying, if that's the case.
Fellas, last night I had a problem. I went to check my fridge for dinner. I looked for chicken. There was no chicken. This episode of the Catechin is brought to you by Tyson Chicken. And at Tyson Chicken, we pride ourselves on delivering quality that you can sometimes count on. Tyson Chicken, while technically in season in the fall, it's actually built for March. Our special slow-cooked method guarantees that by the time it really matters, our chicken should finally start showing up. Sure, it might look a little under-seasoned, maybe even like the chef was just throwing random ingredients on it and hoping for the best. But trust us, it still should be good enough to bring home. It's really about the chicken, after all. And if you're worried about change, don't be. Tyson Chicken has been doing the same thing for decades, and we're not about to adjust for something as silly as the modern palate. Because when you've got a reputation like ours, why bother trying anything new? Tyson Chicken, the one-and-done choice for chicken lovers everywhere. Fellas, we got Gonzaga coming up. Let's get into it.
Battle in Seattle.
That's what I wanted.
Yeah. When you look at their stats and everything, the team stats, it's pretty... the comparison between the two teams, it's pretty interesting how evenly matched everything kind of comes out to. Scoring offense within a couple points, 90, 92 points. The defense, similar, 66, 68. Field goal, I mean, everything's very, very close. They definitely played a better schedule. They're by far – them and Duke have played really good schedules. But at this point when they're playing us, I mean, they've played Baylor, Arizona State, San Diego State on the road, and that's a tough environment to win. I would say that's as good of a win as beating Clemson would have been at Clemson yesterday. That's a really good environment, and they dominated in that game. They did lose to West Virginia in, you know, in the Bahamas. I always wonder with stuff like that when you do travel for like an MTE like that, how, you know, it can throw you off a little bit. But I mean, they've really played a pretty good schedule. Like they blasted Indiana, blasted, I mean, they crushed everybody but the game they lost in West Virginia. And they, you know, they've looked really good doing so. They've got an experienced group. Kentucky played them last year, yeah? Late in the season, if I remember correctly.
Yep. We did play them last year in Rupp, I think. Right?
Yeah, I think it was the reason they got into the tournament because they won that game, because they kind of had a shaky resume up to that point, if I recall. But no, it's a really good team. Nemhard and Graham EK are who I'll be paying the most attention to. EK doesn't play a ton of minutes, but he's a former Wyoming player, so I watched him for a few years, really wanted him at Utah State, but he's very good. But he plays like sub-20 minutes, but he's really good in the post. Obviously, Nemhard is a fantastic guard, but they've got depth all the way through. I mean, this is probably the best team we've played so far. I think overall, they're probably a little better than Duke, in my opinion. We're definitely going to have our hands full, but I think it's a better matchup stylistically than what we just experienced yesterday, and that was a close enough game to where I feel we got a pretty good shot on Saturday.
It looks like, similar to Clemson, they're pretty bad, below average at defending in transition, but they also allow pretty few transition opportunities. So hopefully we're able to capitalize a little bit better, get some runouts and take advantage of the fact that that's just not their strong point defensively.
They beat the brakes off of Gonzaga. I mean, Gonzaga beat the brakes off of Baylor, which I feel like is holding a lot of their water right now. I think the jury's still out on whether that is as good of a win as it may seem.
Yeah.
Because I'm not too sure on how good Baylor is. What's Baylor's best win of the season, Arkansas?
At the moment,
beat pretty bad, but down the caravanless. Yeah.
Yeah. Down five right now.
To UConn, yeah, and I'm not
without
sure
Caravan.
Good at all, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think UConn's
they played
good
four quad one games, which is probably near the top of the country. They're 3-1, obviously. That San Diego State game, that one really impressed me because Viejas was on fire for the first 10 minutes of that game. I'm talking like as good as, and that place is crazy, and it was as loud and as intense and as packed as I've ever seen it, and Gonzaga just mopped it. They just took the crowd out of it the first 10 minutes. After that, it was just ball game. And that's the game I'm going after, because even the Arizona State win, like I even remember feeling kind of like, whoa, they only beat Arizona State by 8 after, wasn't it Duke that beat them by like 70 in the exhibition season that beat Arizona State like that?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That seems like it's kind of come up. Like that's their only loss, Arizona State is, and they have some really good wins against New Mexico and St. Mary's. But that turns out it's a better win than you'd think. But again, with Baylor, with everybody really, I can't really speak to who's good and who's not. I just know how hard it is to play at Viejas Arena in San Diego State, and I know that they went in there and put in work. So that made me a believer in that team, or in this Gonzaga team. They're for real.
And they also, their only loss was in overtime. So
in a game they really shouldn't have lost. They absolutely wet the bed on that one. They if I remember correctly, that was they had a lead real late, and honestly they needed that, like West Virginia needed the help to get to overtime. In overtime they got worked, but they had the lead at the end of that game and should have won that game. But yeah, they didn't. So
I think I'm like you in that
game. Destin.
I hope so.
Because Gonzaga is a Jesuit school, which is a sect of Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
We're coached by Pope. This is out of all of our hands.
The ultimate daddy.
But it could go either way. I don't know.
I could beat my dad in basketball.
I'm sort of like you in that I hesitate to take too much from the MTEs, especially those played in ballrooms kind of overseas, even though the Bahamas isn't really,
especially for a West Coast
super
team
far. And even if it was far, Gonzaga is much farther than West Virginia is. But West Virginia also lost to, were all three of their games overtime losses? They were. or overtime games, but they lost to Louisville in overtime there. So I don't know
sure
how
Louisville sucks. So
strong West Virginia is.
Yeah, because even
but
the
yeah,
Arizona
I,
game, you know, the Arizona. Do we know if Arizona's good? Probably not. We don't know yet, though. We'll see. 0-4 in quad one games. That's tough.
I think they might be bad.
Well, I mean, they haven't lost anybody that they should have beaten. This the games they lost. They lost them pretty badly, though. That's the only other thing. Yeah. Okay.
So as a takeaway, I don't know about this game.
Well, and I think lost because Javon Small went off on them from West Virginia. I'm pretty sure he.
Oh yeah,
he,
31 in. Points.
Is he the one?
31.
He had been to like seven different schools.
I was like everybody.
No, that was Davon Smith.
Oh
at
yeah,
St. John's.
That's Utah guy.
St. John's.
So Javon Small, being a point guard, likes to get some shots up. Are we thinking Kirk Creasy game?
Man, it's,
ooh.
I honestly, this is gonna be tough for the guard. I think Nemhart's probably the best guard we've played, like pure guard. It's gonna be a tough game. I think they can win. I don't like. I hate all these neutral site games, man. Like I wish we were playing on campuses. Not
well,
necessarily that I want Kentucky to have to go to the Kennel, but like then Gonzaga goes to UConn right after, or not to UConn, but to Madison Square Garden to play in like a one-off. Neutral site game. I would rather games be on campuses. It's a tangent for another time, but I'd love to see Kerr play better and have a bounce back game, and maybe he will. But I mean, it'd be really helpful in this game. It just seems like a tough matchup for him.
No one wants
People,
Kerr to have a big game more than Kerr.
No, you're right.
So, sure. He's also one. He's not going to be scared to play them.
No, not at all. He's never going to be intimidated. I don't think he.
Nope.
With his overseas experience and stuff. Yeah, there's no way. He just got to play a little better. That's all it is.
I like that they have Nimhart, but we have Lamont Butler. It's kind of a neutralizing effect.
Yeah, no, for
and
sure.
They have big guys they like to throw it down to. We got Amari. Like, we certainly got answers. And they were saying on TV that that Clemson likes to run sort of the same style that Gonzaga does. Now, that could scare us because we just lost the Clemson game. But we also had a terrible shooting night. So we've kind of had a couple of bad shooting games where it seems that we've regressed to the mean of maybe we were supposed to be all season. So if we can just shoot at the mean, I feel pretty good about this game.
Yeah, like I said before, I think this I felt better about this one than I did the Clemson game just because of, I mean, honestly, where it's being played. I think that'll be, I don't know, how do you expect Big Blue Nation to travel to Seattle? That is quite far, but I know they travel really well other places. I've seen them in Vegas, and it was pretty packed with Kentucky fans.
I mean, I used to live in Seattle, so there's also just a bunch of people there.
Yeah, I feel like every West Coast UK fan's showing up to this game, right?
I saw more UK gear than I ever saw Gonzaga gear in Seattle. Now, is it going to be easier for Gonzaga people to travel? But I never saw anybody wear. I saw a lot of Husky stuff, UW stuff, Wazoo. I never saw a single. When I went to Spokane, I saw Gonzaga stuff. That's the only time I've ever seen it.
People were complaining about the semi away designation that this game gets, neutral site. Or, you know, essentially it's a home game, but it isn't. Like Spokane and Seattle are 4.5 hours apart.
Yeah.
It isn't like we're playing in their backyard. So, I mean, I would still expect more Gonzaga fans there, but
yeah.
I also, again, it's not like we're playing. It's not, you know, sometimes we do these, like I think it, even as part of this Gonzaga series, we had a game in Nashville maybe. And that's so much closer even to us than Seattle is to them.
Yeah, there's also more. Yeah, Gonzaga's a small school. I guarantee you there's more Kentucky alumni in that metro area than there are Gonzaga alumni, which is crazy. But with the big tech people having hundreds of thousands of employees that come from all over, you have a – Seattle's a weird place.
I bet the game's probably a 2 or 3 to 1 Gonzaga to Kentucky fans, which is remarkable considering how far away it is from Kentucky. But it'll be a pro Gonzaga crowd, no doubt about it. Like, it'll
What
be heavily
about
Gonzaga.
What's Lamont Butler's record versus Gonzaga?
I don't know. Yeah, they lost, or they got him by 10 last year. I don't really know besides that, but last year was probably the worst Gonzaga team in a while. Let's see.
He does.
I don't know. At least one. He's gotten one against him, but
I think he's only played him that once.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Dang. You would think they're both basically the same place, right? San Diego and Spokane, Washington.
Yeah, I mean, just totally opposite ends of the country, but that's fine. Yeah, that's gonna. I mean, it'll be good. I still wish it was. I think it'd be cooler if it was being played at a home arena versus a neutral site. But you know, I digress.
You think Tyson's chicken for that?
For neutral site games?
For that neutral site game.
Hmm.
I'd love to know the financials of the payouts for those neutral site games, especially how they compare to home games. Or even a home and home, although I assume you kind of, because you're committed to being away, then you're only getting sort of half over 2 years what you expect. But
yeah,
I was thinking about that as it relates to like MTEs, maybe in the future with this rev share, are we going to have the flexibility to go back to Maui or some of these? I assume they get great sponsorship for those, but also Maui was pretty crowded. Some of them were just empty.
Yeah. A lot of the neutral site games are mostly empty. The premier ones, obviously, for the big games, you get them, but the opening games in most of them, it's pretty dead. But one other aspect of that, too, is how it relates to the net, since neutral sites have different net requirements for the quads than home or away. So I think it's kind of that has to play some sort of role into it, I would imagine. I mean, it does. I don't know that it affects the decision-making, but it is something that does change the narrative around each of those games.
I'm going to rip out the Seattle Supersonics jerseys.
Forget about the songs.
I guess the spread hasn't opened yet on the Kentucky Gonzaga game. Because I'm not seeing it.
What do you guys? What's your predictions?
For the game or the spread?
Spread.
It's gonna be Gonzaga favored by 3. I bet.
I was gonna say 2.5.
I was gonna say 4.5.
Yeah, for what it's worth, Torvik has Gonzaga as a 3 to 4 point favorite. KenPom has him as a 6 point favorite. So somewhere in there. It's amazing as the season has gone on, the spreads have really kind of converged, pretty similar to what some of the analytics sites have.
Yeah.
Weird.
My prediction, Cats by 15.
Sheesh. All right.
Like it.
No, I love that.
7 for 10 from 3.
Be sick, man. I'd love it.
Last time we played a big game, I predicted us to lose. So I feel like it is my duty to say that give me the Zags by 5.
Did you predict us to lose to Clemson, or you didn't think that was a big game?
We didn't do predictions on Clemson.
We did, actually.
We did?
We did, yeah, I have it right here. We all wrote when and by how much and who the
MVP
was. Oh,
man.
So, I am embarrassed.
My bad.
I will be editing this out.
Did I say Butler was going to be the star of the show?
Said Brea, 7 for 10. Oh, just
no,
over
no,
yes
no,
last
first.
Time? Last time? Let's see.
I thought you were saying he said the same thing. Brea, 7 for 10 every game.
I think you went Butler.
Yeah, you did.
I picked Andrew Carr. I might be the mush here, guys. That might be me. So I think, yeah, give me the Zags. And I think Andrew Nimhard drops 30. And if that's what I need to do for the Cats to get a win, that's the prediction I'll make.
And if he does, it's your fault.
There we go. It's my cross to pair.
I think Brent Noah gets a three.
I like that.
Who?
I don't know that I think that's gonna happen, but I like that.
Trent Noah.
Oh, that'd be big.
Okay, yeah. If they get in, it's been a good thing. If the Kentucky boys get in, it's a good thing. It's not because Kerr's playing terrible and that they're a better solution. Just for anyone who's curious about that, that's not the move. I thought I should say something. That's not the move. Kerr will be fine. I think Cats play it close, but I think they lose by 5 or 6, honestly.
Boo.
I'll say Cats win in a close one. Single digits. Not gonna say 15. I'd like to see how the team responds to this loss. And we really don't know. I mean, we've seen Pope speak. We know he's a good motivator. We know this team understands the assignment. I'm just interested to see how quickly we can understand it.
Understand,
I mean, regardless of.
Interesting. Yeah. Did you just think of that?
You know. I think that regardless of what happens in the game, it is a top 5 team you're playing or a top 10 team. Like, it'll be fine either way. But I think it's tough. It is a back-to-back, you know, true test. It'll be interesting to see. Are we picking MVPs? Is that what you're saying? But I have no idea.
I said Bray's number 10, but the MVP is Colin Chandler.
Colin Chandler's not going to see the floor, so good luck with that one. But
hey, it's out west. That's where he's from.
I mean,
he's only going to get 3 points, but it's going to be the 3 points.
with a very general understanding of the West, absolutely.
Yeah, no. I love people thinking that. People don't understand how far away stuff is in other places.
Kentucky football's never played anywhere west of Texas. I don't understand. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't surprise me you don't know where anything is out west, you know? Never come out here.
I mean, I do. I've lived all over there, but...
You, not talking about you. I'm talking about Kentucky fan base, but yeah.
But yeah, you don't know rural until you've been worried that your half tank of gas is not going to make it.
Ben, do you have an MVP?
give me a car bounce back game. I think for the past couple, he has. I don't think he's played as poorly as the stat line would indicate. I think to some extent he's had open shots miss. I think he's been frustrated. But I think he's still one of our best players, one of the most versatile players, and great, great hustler. So I'll take a car bounce back game.
Oh, I
guess it looks like he would play for Gonzaga.
It does.
Yeah, a little bit.
Gonzaga does have one guy, and I don't know his name, and I'm sorry for that. But I think he's their big man, and he's a white guy with like long, dark hair, kind of like goes over. He looks like a great value Chip Holmgren. There's just some guys that just look like Gonzaga players. And he might be one of the most Gonzaga-looking players I've ever seen in my life.
They pulled out of the woods in Canada.
we should have known about Kyle Wilcher.
Mm-hmm.
He super looks like a Gonzaga guy. Braden Huff, I think, is who you're referring to. 6'10", hair in his eyes.
Yeah, that sounds so similar to Brennan Huff from Step Brothers.
It does.
I see DeMarcus Cousins in Spokane, Washington. So I don't really see like DeMarcus Cousins in Spokane, you know.
He's in Sacramento for a long time.
Yeah. So have you been to Spokane?
Yeah.
It's just Idaho.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay. I mean, you've been to Sacramento? It's pretty similar to what you're describing. It's very similar.
Spokane.
Fellas, any closing thoughts that we got before the big mega episode we got coming on Saturday? Late night catechin.
Oh, it's going to be super late, huh?
Oh, yeah.
What time is that game at? It's like 9 o'clock for y'all, isn't it?
Probably like 9 o'clock Western.
I think it's 10 o'clock tip-off for us.
Oh, God, is
We're taking calls, baby.
It's at 7 Pacific, so yeah, 10 o'clock y'all's time.
Love it. Well, last night was almost 10, like a 9:40-something 10.
Yep.
That's fair.
Do the players have to take on-campus classes?
No.
I don't think so. I think a ton do, like, remote class now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'd be doing. No commute.
I wouldn't be going to class.
Well, yeah, obviously.
My last thought, if you're still watching, let us know what you think about the Clemson game, what you think we can work on as a team. If you were Pope, what changes would you make? How do you think that could have gone differently? And let us know your predictions for Gonzaga. You know, we gave ours. Predictions are hard. We're going to be wrong a ton. Let us know why we're stupid, how we're stupid, and how you would have better predicted what's going to happen.
Be the beacon of insight in this conversation.
Rank us by hotness.
Or don't. But yeah, do, though, actually. Do. And
FMK.
Sounds like someone is concerned about where they're going to be ranked.
Oh, no, top four easy, so I'm fine. No, that's the easy part. I'm just worried about y'all's feelings. No, I mean, I hope, you know, it'll be a good game. I'm looking forward to it. It's probably the biggest game until conference, right?
No.
No.
Oh, 9 out of 10, Dennis and Colgate's the biggest game.
On God, that was like the most anyone's ever said anything about these videos is how bottom of the barrel teams. That really got the people going. Like,
it's
in a
not
variety
even like
of ways.
We weren't saying that we wanted to play like all like blue bloods and stuff like
Dog,
that.
No, I literally said like Weber State or Montana.
Let's play the 150s.
Play
you know, North
State.
Texas, yeah.
Yeah, I think I got railed for. Oh, you want us to play the best teams ever? Dog, no, just you don't have to play the worst
but, hey,
teams in the country.
We love and appreciate all of our subscribers.
Absolutely.
And our
in fact, that may be, no, absolutely. That I'm not even complaining. I just I think maybe it got misinterpreted that I was saying we should play an NBA style schedule and that's it. Like
a gold star for each of them for sure. You know,
Except Louisville's the biggest game. Mark Pope's first Louisville is the biggest game of this season.
It's the biggest pitfall, but it has. There's no way in which it's the biggest game of the season. I mean, how?
Absolutely. The vibes,
yeah.
Yeah, if you lose, if you win that game, who gives a shit? They're terrible, and they just lost two of their players, didn't they?
Yeah.
That game is, as a fan, I think, being excited about it, but it's not. It might as well be Colgate.
So we don't spend a lot of time talking about our rivals on here, but one of the craziest things to me is that Louisville's redshirting two guys anyway. They've got Corin out for the rest of the year, I think, with some shoulder thing he's having surgery on, and Pryor out with his ACL, maybe.
Yeah.
And they still have more available scholarship players than Arkansas.
Yo. Dang.
I mean, it's just an unbelievable difference in approach to roster building.
Mm-hmm. Doug, you know, I bet you all these bottom of the barrel teams the last 2 years have won more games than Louisville. More to my point.
That's hardly fair. Who hasn't Arsley won Bridges more games than
did
Louisville?
Damage.
All right, and with that, for Braden, Ben, Caleb, I'm Jared. Thank you for joining the Catechin, and go Cats.
Go Cats.
Go Cats.
And I.